Today, we're coming to the last sermon in a series on Our God is Able. And as I said before, the purpose of these sermons has been not just to give us more information, because I'm sure we all have enough information, but to encourage us to believe that our God truly is able. And so far, we've seen that He is able to give us much more, able to deliver us, able to make all grace abound toward us, able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, and able to guard what we have committed to Him. And today we're going to look at how God is able to keep us from falling, or as another translation has it, even to keep us from stumbling, to keep us from falling down, to keep us from stumbling in our faith. And we're going to go to a little book that most people don't ever read very much, and that is the little book of Jude, the letter to Jude, letter of Jude. And we're going to read out of that only one verse, or one chapter in that particular letter, and I'm going to read the 24th and 25th verses of Jude. Jude, right before Revelation, if you're looking for it. And this is what Jude writes. To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior and glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And all the people said, Amen. It's actually a benediction and has been used many times that way. But there's a lot in here. In the letter of Jude, who was, as we think, James' brother, who wrote the book of James and who was also the leader of the church in Jerusalem and also the half-brother of Jesus, Jude being James' half-brother, and also being Jesus' half-brother. We see that God is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before His presence. This letter was written some 40 to 50 years after the startup of the church. It was written to an unknown community of Christians, warning them about false teachers who were infiltrating the church. In Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul talks about a great falling away that will occur in the church prior to the second coming of Jesus. I wonder if we're not seeing some of that happening in the church today, where people are falling away from right doctrine, where people are falling away from the things that we have been taught, the traditions of the apostles. This, of course, is something that we see happening all around us in many churches. And it tells us that we must be on our guard and not become complacent or overconfident. Some people might say, well, I don't think that I'll ever have that happen to me. I'm not worried about falling away. I'm not worried that I'll ever give up on the faith. I'm not worried that I'm one of those that this particular scripture is talking about. But we never know, do we? The famous preacher Spurgeon once said, the best taught man apart from divine guidance is capable of becoming the greatest fool possible. So we have to be on our guard, don't we? We have to watch our step. We have to be careful. While we need to watch our step, we don't have to be fearful of falling away as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, as it tells us to do in Hebrews, and as long as we trust in the Lord, for He is the one who is able to keep us. There are two problems that Jude warns about and warns the Christians of his day and us as well. One is doctrinal purity, and the other is moral laxity. false teachers had crept into the church, whom Jude called dreamers. And he said about them that they defile the flesh, reject authority, and cause disputing and arguing over doctrinal matters. Matters that had been established before by the apostles. Jude also exhorts Christians to contend earnestly for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Now, every generation of Christians is responsible for holding fast to the truth of God's word. Or as one writer put it, the church is always one generation away from extinction. And by the way, the same thing can be said about our country. Our country is in danger these days because of changes that we see taking place. I was talking to a woman a couple of weeks ago on Saturday night after the worship time in our church, and she was asking, how do you reach people? She had a family that she was concerned about. And she said, how do you reach them when they accept the traditions of men on the same level as the Word of God? It is very difficult. Because unless a person or persons accept the special authority of the Bible in matters of faith and practice, we have really no common ground to stand on. I told her to pray, but to pray in a certain way, to pray in a special way, and that is to pray that her family's eyes, the eyes of their understanding, would be opened so that they could see what? The truth. Because that's the only thing that will bring them to a place where they accept the truth. Jude tells us that our God is well able to keep us from falling. And the psalmist echoes the same idea in Psalm 121. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out, your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. God is able to keep us. He's able to keep us safe. He's able to keep us strong. He's able to keep us from falling. He's even able to keep us from stumbling. How many of you have ever fallen down? I had a great fall one time when I fell off of a roof when I was painting a house. And I fell 30 feet to the ground. Quite a fall. But God is able to keep us in a spiritual sense from falling down, from being taken in, and from keeping ourselves from being overtaken in our faith. Jameson, the commentator, says, the indwelling spirit enables us to keep from the robbers of the soul the deposit of his word committed to us by God. As long as we have a desire to know and live according to the truth of God's word, we are protected from falling into a trap of believing something less than the truth. We must be careful not to be caught up in the cult of personalities. Sometimes people will excuse errors they see because they admire a person. We know a young lady who became involved with a young man who taught a Bible study. And he ended up taking all of her money by making her believe he cared about her. Some of his teaching should have raised a red flag for her, but she was emotionally involved. We remember what the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. If there is a leader that we are following and he or she stops following the Lord, then we have to stop following that person. Because it'll get us into problems. It'll get us into trouble. We have to stand up for what is true and right. The argument that, oh, we know that he's off a little bit, but he's such a nice person. Or he's only off a little bit, not very much. Do you know if an airplane is on automatic pilot and that automatic pilot is off just one little degree, the plane will end up somewhere far off from where it was supposed to be. And the same thing can happen to us spiritually. Doesn't have to be a blaring inconsistency. Doesn't have to be a glaring wrong. It can be just a tiny little departure from the truth. And it can get us off. We can find ourselves in a place that we don't want to be. Can get us into trouble. That's why the letter of Jude condemns in the strongest way the efforts of those false teachers who were perverting the truth of the gospel. Now, do you see any parallel to what's happening in the world today? What's happening in the church today? We are dealing with some issues today that would not even have been dealt with 10, 20 years ago. But we're having to face them. We're having to deal with them today. What is happening in the world or in our culture seems to be spilling over into the church today. Rather than the church impacting our culture, rather than the church being able to change our culture, we find in many instances that the church is being changed by our culture. In other words, many churches have come to the conclusion that if we can't lick them, we're going to join them. And that too is a dangerous way to go. In fact, it amounts to spiritual suicide. It really does matter what we believe, my friends. It does. Some people think, oh, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. But how many know that we can be sincerely wrong? And it can lead us off into error. It can lead us off into places where we don't want to go, or we shouldn't go at least. It does matter what makes up the content of our faith. What we stand on, what we believe, what we live for, and if need be, what we'd even die for. Besides doctrinal errors, those false teachers, Jude writes about, were bringing in moral laxity to the church. Jude talks about those false teachers whom the apostles said would come, and he describes them as those who would follow their own ungodly desires in an ungodly way. It's important for the church to stand up and speak out the truth in love. Not only in doctrinal matters, but also by upholding a moral standard. In our American culture today, everything seems to be changing. Things that we see in the world today, we would not even have thought could have happened. At least I wouldn't. The motto for this time seems to be, nothing is really wrong. Everything is okay. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Well, the early church faced a similarly challenging time of being light and dark in a dark world in which they lived. For as you know, there was a time when the church started out that the church was made up only of Jewish people, and then it opened up to the Gentiles. And all those Gentiles who came into the church had been pagans before. And they had participated in pagan activities. And some of them felt like, well, what's it going to hurt if we just bring our pagan background, our pagan practices with us into the church. What's going to hurt? And that's what Jude is talking about. He's talking about those people who had participated in those things. After they had become Christians, they had to be taught about a new and higher standard. Lifting up that standard in the church before the world. A standard of morality. We still need to lift up that standard today and refuse to compromise with the world. Once we allow those cultural practices to seep into the church, or we adopt the world's ways and practices, we forfeit our Christian witness. We have nothing to say. We can't have any influence. We can't have any impact. That's why we have to uphold the standard and hold on to it with all of our might. And say, while everything else might be changing all around us, we stand on these principles. We stand on this standard that is upheld in the Bible, in the Word of God. I remember a certain cult that came through a town in which I served as a church. A young man in our church became involved in that group and asked me one time to attend a meeting with him. The leader was a young man as we went into this house and into that meeting. And assisting him was three or four very attractive young women. And when this young man went into the house, these young ladies came up to him and they began to hug him and began to kiss him. And I'm not talking about a holy kiss either. Now, they didn't bother me. I don't know why. But it was clear to me that these young people were using sex to attract young men and to hold on to them long enough for them to get hooked. After the meeting was over, we were leaving, and the young man said, "Well, what did you think of it?" And I said, "If I was you, I would run as fast as I possibly can away from those people." That group was called Followers of the Way. And they misled many, many young people. Jude says that our God is able to keep us from falling. That means falling for false teaching. Because when we know the truth, when we hold the truth in our hearts, we can't be duped. We can't be fooled. We can't be moved off of that place. When Martin Luther finally came to that place in his life where he realized the truth, and many of the things that he had been doing as a priest in the church were wrong, were against the Word of God, he took a stand. You all remember he nailed the 95 Theses on the church door. But when he was brought up with charges against him and saying that he was a heretic, and that he had to recant, Martin Luther said, "Here I stand. Here I stand on the truth of God's word. I can do no other." The result was the Protestant Reformation. The result was where we are today. So you see, we do have to stand up for what we know is true. We do have to stand up for what we know is right. We cannot compromise, because if we do so, we have nothing really to offer. So, according to Jude, God is able to help us, keep us from falling down, keep us from being taken in, keep us from being failures. He is able to help us. We cannot do this on our own without God's help. Every day of our lives as Christians, there are forces, there are factors that are coming against us more and more in our own society. We must trust in God who has promised to keep us from falling. Or as one translation puts it, from stumbling. And how does he do that? I believe there are two principal ways that God helps us to stand strong in the faith that has been once and for all delivered to the saints. He does it through his word. If we believe that the Bible is the word of God, and we read it and we study it for ourselves, that means we don't simply rely on someone else to spoon feed us. Or we don't rely on someone else totally to tell us or to teach us or to help us. But we look into the Word of God for ourselves and we study it and we read it and we hide it in our hearts. When we do that, we are providing a resource for God to use to help us. The more of God's Word we put into our minds and hearts, the stronger our faith will be. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. There's no substitute for that. Nobody can do that for us. We must do that for ourselves. Jesus said, "It is those who hunger and thirst for righteousness who will be filled." That means we have a desire to want to know. We have a desire to want to grow. We have a desire to learn. We have a desire to keep on keeping on. The second way that God helps us or keeps us from falling is through His Holy Spirit who lives within us. The Holy Spirit is given to every believer, not only to empower us for service, but also to lead us into all truth. Now, it doesn't stand to reason that since the Holy Spirit is the author of the Scriptures, of the Bible, that He is the one that can best teach us. He is the one that can best interpret it for us. He is the one that can open it up to us and show us the truth. He also helps us to see when something is wrong, warns us to avoid certain pitfalls. And even when we get off track, even if we do get off track, He can help us. He can gently help us back on track again, if we will only follow His leading. Through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, God is able to keep us from falling and one day to prevent us faultless before the throne, which means pure, spotless before His very own presence. Now, isn't that something that we all desire? Isn't that something we want to have happen in our lives? Let me close with the words of another old hymn. "I've found a friend, oh, such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From Him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever? Shall life or death or earth or hell? No, I am His forever." So Jude's warning must be taken by us seriously so that we can stay on the right path that leads to an eternal relationship, fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, we are so thankful that You have given us the written word, the truth. Help us, Father, to have a desire, a hunger, a thirst to know Your word. And help us to be obedient, Father, to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that we can stand strong in this time when there are so many things trying to tear us down, trying to lead us away. we can stand in you and know, God, that you are preparing us for an eternity of life with you. Help us, God, to be a witness of light in the dark world in which we live. For we pray it all in Jesus' name.